Hi, I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, and I want to tell you a little bit about myself before we get started. I have a bachelor's degree in psychology from the University of Florida, a master's degree in education from Armstrong Atlantic State University, and a doctorate in education from Georgia Southern University. I'm a certified clinical hypnotherapist, a member of both the American Board of Hypnotherapy and the National Guild of Hypnotists, and I'm president of the American Alliance of Hypnotists. I'm the director of the Steve G. Jones School of Clinical Hypnotherapy. I also serve on the board of directors of the American Lung Association in Los Angeles. I have over 2 decades of experience in hypnotherapy, and I still maintain a busy practice and teaching schedule because I see clients and teach classes worldwide. My client base consists mainly of people who want to lose weight, stop smoking, or gain confidence. Other clients include sales teams interested in boosting motivation and increasing income. Also, singles looking for love, insomniacs desiring proper sleep, and actors desiring more confidence for their next audition. When I travel to see clients and teach hypnotherapy certification classes around the world, I visit such places as Tokyo, Japan, Barcelona, Spain, Paris, France, London, England, Montreal, Canada, Los Angeles, California, and New York, just to name a few. By the way, since you have an interest in hypnosis, perhaps you'd be interested in becoming a certified clinical hypnotherapist. It's very easy to do. All you have to do is go to my website, betterlivingwithhypnosis.com, and click on Hypnosis Classes at the top. You can either train in person or online. After your training, you'll be added to our worldwide directory of certified clinical hypnotherapists, and you'll receive a certificate. I was fortunate for many years to have my office in Beverly Hills, California, where I worked with such wonderful people as Tom Mankiewicz, the writer of Superman, Geraldine Saunders, the writer of The Love Boat, and many other celebrities. I have been interviewed on CNN, Fox News, and appeared on True TV, in addition to having my own hypnosis TV show. With my over 20 years of experience, I'm happy to share with you techniques that I've both developed and learned which can help you improve your life. I encourage you to visit my website, betterlivingwithhypnosis.com. There you will find my life's work, 22 books on hypnotherapy, over 3,000 hypnosis recordings available as downloadable MP3s or CDs, and these recordings will program your mind to achieve goals in such areas as weight loss, motivation, and stopping smoking. I also have audiobooks, such as this one, where I'm talking with you and sharing with you in a very dynamic way techniques that you can use to improve your life and the way you do things. The reason I'm telling you all of this is not to impress you, but to impress upon you that I, your teacher, am very capable and I know what I'm talking about. I'm also very happy for the opportunity to share this information with you, so rest assured that you're in good hands and let's have some fun as we now expand your knowledge. I wish you well in all of your endeavors and please be sure to visit my website, betterlivingwithhypnosis.com. So I hope you've enjoyed the program so far, the 4 modules which have prepared you for this point, sort of gotten you ready, worked on your visualization and certain other techniques to prepare you to really get into the material now as we delve much more deeply into psychic powers and developing your personal psychic powers. You know, throughout my life, I've found that the times at which I'm the most tuned in psychically are the times when I'm not trying to tune in psychically at all. Isn't that interesting? The times when I just kind of space out and I'm not trying to read anyone's mind. I'm not trying to have my mind read by anyone. I'm not working on clairvoyant abilities or telepathy or clairaudience or anything. I'm just being and I'm just relaxing. But also in those times when I've noticed my psychic ability is being very powerful, I've been in the presence of someone else. So for me, this is the way it happens. I will be sitting next to someone, usually in a car. And I guess because in a car, you can kind of space out and not pay attention to what's going on. Even if you're driving, you can kind of go on autopilot, especially if you know where you're going. And so there I am driving, and the person next to me is just sitting there also, and they're in the same frame of mind. They're not talking to me. They're not asleep. They're just kind of sitting there next to me. And so many times I've had this experience where I will say something or they will say something after a long period of silence, like 5 or 10 minutes of silence, which when two people are together, 5 or 10 minutes of silence can seem like a long time. And suddenly they'll say something or I'll say something and the other person will say, that's exactly what I was thinking. Have you had that experience where suddenly you say something about, say, Chinese food, for example, out of the blue, and you haven't been speaking at all, just suddenly you say, you know, I was just thinking of Chinese food, or wouldn't Chinese food be nice? And they say, that's exactly what I was thinking. Or they say something, and you say, that's exactly what I was thinking. And I think the reason for that, the reason that our psychic powers can be so heightened during those times, are multifold. There are a number of reasons, but the main ones are, number one, we're not trying. So when we don't try, what happens? Just like in dating or trying to be confident, when we let go of trying, when we let go of that negative energy of gotta do it, when we're giving a speech publicly and we're letting go of trying and we're just being and doing, things flow for us. Things flow smoothly. So it's the same way with psychic powers. When you're not trying, it becomes a huge factor toward helping you actually achieve it. The second factor that I think is at work in these situations is that you have two people who have their minds cleared. And it doesn't have to be the person next to you. I've also had this happen with recently with text messaging in the last few years. I'll be thinking something and someone will text me from across the world with the exact thing that I was thinking because we were tuned in. But again, in those instances, normally I'm doing something or basically not doing anything. I'm doing something that requires me to pay very minimal attention. I can kind of space out, zone out, go into a trance, go into a meditative state, and it's there that I think I'm at the top of the range of my psychic abilities when I'm not trying. So the first thing is the not trying is going on, if that makes any sense. Not trying is happening. When you think nothing's happening, you think you're just sitting there not doing anything, you're really doing something. You're creating a clearing in your mind. You're letting go of all that stuff. Secondly, there's someone else who's in the same type of situation. They're not trying either. They're just sitting there or doing whatever they do, wherever they do it. And so they're open also as either a transmitter or a receiver. So there are probably a lot of factors going on when it comes to something like that, but I feel those are the two main ones. Your mind is clear, and the other person's in the same situation. They're not trying, and their mind is clear. You see, when I was a kid, I used to sit in my room, and I'd lie down on the floor, and I'd lie just under this coffee table that was in my room. This coffee table my parents used to use in the living room was in my bedroom, and I put my stereo on it. So when I was about 10, I would lie down just below it, and I'd have my head underneath it, and I'd put something on the edge of the coffee table, and I'd try to move it. So I was looking directly up at the object that was hanging over the edge of the coffee table, and if it had fallen off, it would have fallen on my face, but it was balanced in such a way that half of it was on the coffee table, half of it was hanging off, and I would try to move it with my mind. It never worked. I never was able to move it with my mind. And the reason I had this idea is my friend Brian, when I was a kid, don't know where he is now, but he actually taught me about brain waves, something he called brain waves. When we were 5 years old, he taught me about this. He said, I'll bet I can make that tree fall using my brain waves. It was a huge pine tree. And I said, well, go ahead. And so he started staring at it and looking very serious, especially for a five-year-old, and he said that he was concentrating, he was going to make the tree fall, and then he invited me to help him, so I was staring at it also, and we were trying to make this tree fall. Well, part of the problem is that we were trying really hard. See, when something's going to happen, it's going to happen almost effortlessly, or at least it's going to seem that way. You know, when someone's really good at something, they can do it almost effortlessly. In the case of dancing, or basketball, or football, or anything which requires a high degree of performance, the person doing the action is so accustomed to doing it when they're good at it that the muscle memory takes over and they're almost on autopilot. So it seems effortless. And to a large degree, it is effortless for them because they've done it so many times. Well, for us, for Brian and myself, it was anything but effortless. We were trying our hardest to make that tree fall. And later on, with my knowledge about brain waves, I would try the experiments with a coffee table in my bedroom and try to make objects levitate. Well, they never levitated. However, since then, I have gained tremendous understanding since my initial experiments, if you will, as a five-year-old and later on in my life as maybe a 10-year-old or so, trying these brainwave experiments. Since then, my understanding has improved to the point where I know that if you're going to do something that has to do with psychic abilities, you need to just let go and let it happen. You need to release the idea of trying. And again, think of it in the realm of business or dating or giving a public speech. If you're trying to get a contract signed in business, chances are you're going to look like you're trying. You're going to sweat. You're going to be nervous. You're going to, you know, act like you really, really need it to happen. You're going to have that desperate aura about you, if you will. And same thing in dating. If you try to do something in dating, try to impress someone, try to act a certain way, etc., you're going to look like a person who's trying. And if you give a public speech and you try really hard to make everyone laugh and you try really hard to make a good impression, you're going to seem like you're trying. In all three of those cases, and in the case of working with developing your psychic powers, the key element is to let go of trying. Now, that may seem counterintuitive, and it may seem very difficult to you, but I want to tell you, it's very easy. And the first time you do this, you're going to say, aha, that's what he's talking about. And hopefully you've had those experiences already where you've read someone's mind or someone's read your mind and you weren't trying to do any kind of psychic experiment. I remember when I was learning how to astral project, getting my spirit body out of my physical body, the intense trying that I went through was actually working against me. And once I let go and just relaxed and let it happen, that's when I started making progress. So it's the same with developing psychic abilities. It's the trick of trying without trying. Sounds like a paradox. Sounds like something that's impossible, but it's not. It's very, very simple. When you first do it and you catch yourself doing it, if you can just harness that energy. So hopefully this has happened to you before. Like I've said, where you've read someone's mind or they've read yours. But what I suggest is you let that happen again. You let it happen again organically. Just wait for that time where you, for whatever reason, read someone's mind or they read yours and pay attention in that moment that you find out that it happened. Okay, I read their mind or they read mine. Here's verification. They texted me exactly what I was thinking, or I said to them what they were thinking and I was right and it was something obscure, which I shouldn't have been able to guess by chance. When that happens to you the next time, pay attention to what happened a moment ago. What state were you in? Probably what was going on is you were just letting go. You were just clearing your mind. You were just letting go of everything that you were thinking, kind of spacing out, not really paying attention to much, and it happened. You need to learn how to harness that energy. That's the kind of trying that we're looking for here. Trying without trying. That is the key to developing and harnessing your psychic abilities. Now, before you do anything in the psychic realm whatsoever, and whether you're raising your kundalini or practicing astral projection or working on your psychic powers, anything along those lines, anything that's metaphysical, it's important for you to protect yourself. Because what happens when you don't protect yourself? Well, when you do spiritual work and you don't protect yourself, you can take on negative energy. Now, if you're a counselor or a therapist of some kind, you probably have experienced this either psychologically or psychically. Taking on someone's energy. Well, when you get into psychic work more and more, not only can you take on energy of people around you, but you can take on energy of beings who don't even have a physical body. Beings that are around and they're just there. And perhaps you heard that noise that happened right behind me when I said don't have a physical body. That's a very common experience for me when I talk about non-physical beings. The idea is that they want you to know that they're around and that they're with you and they hear you talking about them. That happened to me when I did a TV show called Door to the Dead. I had to go to Virginia and do a a reading, basically. What I had to do was hypnotize the people who lived in the house who were being haunted and have them talk to the entity. And there was a scene of the Last Supper behind me, a little plastic replica of the Last Supper with Jesus and his disciples, and something fell off of it when I was doing the psychic reading. I wasn't really doing a psychic reading per se, but I was using hypnosis to get the people to talk to the entity. So little things like that will happen, just let you know that, hey, this is not playtime, this is real. So you want to surround yourself with protective energy before you begin this, because just like when you go out in the rain, you wear an umbrella. Hopefully, if it's pouring, you wear an umbrella, maybe even boots. If you go scuba diving, you wear neoprene, a protective lining that lets in a little bit of water, but just enough so that your body temperature will heat it up and keep you warm, so it's a protective layer around you. Common sense dictates that when we go into a situation that may carry some danger, we protect ourselves so that we eliminate the danger, or at least control it to the best of our abilities. And that brings up another point. If you're going into psychic research and dabbling in the psychic world just for fun, that can be interesting. And I do applaud your efforts, because it is part of this world. And just like exploring a cave can be fun, exploring the psychic world can be fun. A lot of mysteries to be solved and a lot of things to find out, a lot of territory to be researched and explored, and it can be a lot of fun. However, you need to understand that just like when you're walking in nature, you shouldn't disturb what's there. And I'm a diver, so when I dive, I'm always reminded by others, and I remind other people sometimes, that you don't disturb what's down there. If you see some coral, it's nice to look at it, but why are you going to pick it up and hold it in your hand? You just need to leave it there and look at it. You know, we're visiting. Let's not disturb what's going on. So you need to have the same type of respect that you would when you're hiking or diving or exploring any territory that welcomes you and is very beautiful and interesting, but that you shouldn't disturb. So look, but don't touch. And if you are invited to touch, to interact with an entity, or you think you are, protect yourself. Because sometimes it can be a little bit like shark diving, you know, diving among sharks, which, by the way, isn't quite as dangerous as people say. There's a magazine called Shark Diver Magazine. Not all sharks are that dangerous, but some are. Sometimes when people dive with sharks, they have to put themselves in a cage because the sharks are so dangerous that they might get them. If they had contact with a human, they might eat the human. So you may find yourself in situations like that in the psychic world. You need to be protected. You need to have that cage around you, that protective white light around you, just in case you need it. So how do we do this? How do we protect ourselves when we're going to go into the psychic world and explore and walk around? And by the way, another similarity that just occurred to me is traveling in space. When you go in space, wear a space suit. Don't just go out there in your bathing suit. You wear a space suit. So think of it that way. Think of the white light that you're going to surround yourself with as a space suit, a diving suit, protective wear from the rain, any of those things that helps you really envision the importance of what you're doing in protecting yourself. But let's imagine right now that our protection is in the form of a white light. And the way we get this white light is we just imagine that the sun overhead is radiating down this very powerful light. The sun gives us all life. We get life from the earth also and from our spirituality. But the sun is an integral part of us being alive. The sun's power helps plants grow, which we can live from, and they help in creating oxygen. The sun's power helps us know when to sleep by setting our natural clock. So the sun plays a very important role in our lives. All throughout our lives, from beginning to end, the sun helps us in our lives. And because of that, we can use its power right now. So imagine the sun beaming down, even if it's nighttime, wherever you are, doesn't matter. Just imagine the sun beaming down now and shining its bright, powerful rays directly on the top of your head. Imagine being focused like a laser on the top of your head. And imagine it traveling down now through your body, in through the top of your head, through your body. And I want you now to bring it to the center of your chest, your solar plexus. That's right, solar plexus. There's a chakra there, just like there is at the top of your head. There are numerous chakras, but right now we're only focused on the one at the top of your head. And chakras, think of them the size of tennis balls, and it's half inside your head, half out. And so the light from the sun illuminates this chakra, which is the size of a tennis ball, on the top of your head. And then it sends a beam of light down to the center of your chest, to your solar plexus, where it illuminates another chakra, also the size of a tennis ball. And so imagine these two glowing lights now, being powered by the sun. And I want you to imagine that from your solar plexus chakra, the light radiates outward, outside of your body, in a sphere. Your body is contained in that sphere, like a bubble. A protective sphere, a protective bubble. You can still walk around, move around, but you are protected by that barrier. Nothing can enter that sphere without your permission. You have to give your permission for anything to enter that sphere. So you are now protected. And I want you to do this exercise every time you do any psychic experiments or exploration or having fun or any serious work with psychic healing. Anytime you do anything that has to do with psychic abilities, protect yourself in this manner. And it's a very simple process. Just imagining the power of the sun, bringing it down to the top of your head, then it radiates down to your solar plexus, then it radiates out in a sphere, outward from your body, protecting you. And so anytime you do psychic work, I want you to spend approximately 5 minutes preparing yourself like this. You know, musicians, before they play music, they warm up. They tune their instruments. They don't just go on stage and start playing. They tune their instruments. They make sure that everything's working. So always protect yourself before you do any kind of psychic work. Take about 5 minutes. It will be time well spent, just like a musician preparing before going on stage and tuning up his or her instrument before actually playing. Your preparation will go a long way, because the last thing you want to do is go out in the rain without an umbrella, or go into outer space without a spacesuit, or go underwater without a neoprene wetsuit. You put yourself in danger when you don't prepare properly. You also don't put on part of the suit. You don't take half of an umbrella. No, you prepare properly. Put on the whole spacesuit, the whole diving suit, take the whole umbrella. You take your time to prepare. So every time you do any psychic work, take about 5 minutes and prepare yourself properly by just imagining this process, this protective process happening. Then you are prepared to do your work. The first experiment I'd like you to do after you've protected yourself with light is to practice seeing auras. And auras are nothing more than the energy that is around every being. Plants have auras, animals have auras, humans have auras. And I used to watch my dad's aura a lot. My dad would lecture me for hours about the importance of education. As a child, I'd get money, actually, when I brought home A's. I didn't always get A's. I didn't always get money. But he would offer me $5 if I brought home 5 A's. And I got weekly report cards at one of the private schools where I attended because education meant that much to my father. He didn't have the chance to go to school. Actually, he did, but he had to go to World War II. So then when he came back, there was the GI Bill. So he had the opportunity to go to college, but unfortunately, he felt the need to make money right then and there, and he felt college could wait. Well, college waited so long that it never happened for him. So he would talk to me as a child about the importance of an education. And I believe that's why I have been inspired to pursue education all the way through a doctorate, because of my dad's influence. But what I'm getting at here is that when my dad used to talk to me about education, I used to see his aura glowing green. Green is the color of healing. It's also the color of teaching and learning, the color of knowledge. And so he would talk to me about learning and so forth, and his aura would glow green. And I brought this up to him one time, and he wasn't a tremendously spiritual person, but he wasn't closed-minded either. So he would be happy to listen to anything I said, no matter how far-fetched he may actually think it sounds. He would listen to it. And so we started joking and calling him Mr. Green when he would talk about college. And my stepmother got in on it also, and that became his nickname, Mr. Green. But it was interesting that I hadn't had any formal training in seeing auras. I was just using the perception that a child has for not thinking that something is real or unreal, just thinking that certain things happen. And when certain things happen, you tell people that they're happening. So a child's innocence is what I had, and that allowed me to see the aura. Now remember, I've talked about the idea of not trying. Trying to not try. That can be a bit of a challenge. But as a kid, you have the advantage of not worrying about it because you don't know any better. You don't know what auras are. You don't know that you're supposed to be seeing them or not supposed to be seeing them. So you see them. So my father's aura was green when he lectured. And that's the only time I ever really noticed it. Otherwise, I didn't notice it at all. And sometimes auras are like that. Sometimes you really don't notice it. It's more of a nonchalant aura until it's something that the person's passionate about. So what I want you to do as an experiment is find a living being right now, if you can. Cat, dog, plant, if you have to. Preferably a human. Human would be your first choice. A cat or dog or hamster or some kind of animal would be your second choice. And non-human. And the third choice would be a plant. So find some sort of being right now. Stop the recording if you have to. And then start it again when you've got your subject. You don't need to tell them what you're doing, but I guess they'll figure it out if they're listening to the recording. Okay, so let's say you've got your subject there, and I want you to just look at them. And rather than looking at their eyes or a particular part of their body as you probably normally would if you were talking with them or if they were talking to you and you're listening to them, I want you to look past them. I want you to look about 20 feet past them. And what you're doing here is you're allowing your eyes to go out of focus. And you'll get better at this as time goes on, but pick a point about 20 feet past them. And if there's a wall right behind them, then just imagine yourself looking through the wall, looking 20 feet past them, no matter where that would be. And as you do this, just allow yourself to relax. Now, hopefully you've been listening to the recording that comes with this program for increasing your psychic powers that's programming you every night when you listen to it. And hopefully you're going to listen to it for 21 nights in a row to program you to have more powerful access to your psychic powers that you already have, but you'll have more powerful access to them. And I'm just bringing that up in case you haven't been listening to that recording. Now you know what that recording's for. It's so that you listen to it every night for 3 weeks to get better and better at doing this, reading auras and everything else we're going to work on.